All right. Well, good evening, everybody. How's it going? Woo! I'm really big on crowd participation, so it's not hi. It's good to see you. I like that. So this morning, somebody sneezed. Actually, Jim sneezed like 3 or 4 times in a row. I was like, "Bless you, Jim." Everybody cracked up. It was a great time. It was like a bonding moment with all of us there in NLCF this morning. So, well, hey, my name's Steve. I know many of you have met a lot of you. At least I've seen your faces and stuff. And so I'm on staff here at NLCF. This is something that I don't get to do all that often, which is kind of speaking, on Sundays, giving the talk or the sermon, as you were, as you will. So, but this is something that I really look forward to. It's kind of a growing thing for me. I'll try not to ramble a lot. I do that a little bit. So, but anyway, I'm really excited to be here, and this is a cool series that we're starting out. So, let's pray, and then we'll get going. So, God, I just thank you for this evening, and I thank you for this time to be up here and just to talk about your word and to hear what you have to say about Advent. And I pray that you would minister to us and guide us and show us how we can draw closer to you during this time. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Christmas, it's coming. Is anybody excited about Christmas? I mean, that is awesome. I'm excited. I would love to hear why some of you folks aren't excited about it, but that's okay. We don't have to go into that right now. But I really love this time of year. I look forward to it. There are a number of things that can feel kind of like stressful and crazy about this time, especially if you have to do a lot of traveling, which I do, to visit all these different sides of families and stuff. But it is an exciting time. Do we have any Black Friday shoppers? Anybody that went out? A couple? Yeah? 5 a.m. Anybody that was out 5 a.m. that early? Yes? Okay. 4 a.m.? 3? 2? 1? Midnight? Yeah? Later than that, what time were you out shopping? 10:30, and how late or early were you out the Friday morning? 6:30. You get a cookie. You can go over there right now and grab one. It is totally cool. Y'all give a round of applause. That is impressive. I got to tell you, I'm going to remember that for a long time. Anyway, so cool. But Monday is Cyber Monday. It's the day when a lot of people get in trouble at work because they're shopping online and they shouldn't. We're getting ready for this Christmas season. There's a lot of things that kind of come out this time of year. You know, if you back up a little bit, you got Halloween, and there's a lot of cool, fun decorations that come out for Halloween. You know, you got like big goblins kind of coming up behind rocks, and they blow up, and then they shrink and go back down, and all this sort of stuff. And the candy is awesome. It's the only time of year when it's okay to take candy from strangers, which I don't understand why we have this that built into our system, but I guess it's okay that time of year. But once Halloween's over, the Thanksgiving Day decorations, they might come out. You know, if you have decorations for Thanksgiving, it's kind of like you just pick out something that's like brown and orange and hope it works out. Those last for like a day or two at the most. And then the Christmas decorations come out. And I love it. I love like you walk into like these big stores and there's like these huge snowflakes hanging from the ceiling and all that sort of stuff. It was a really cool time. But I also like it because people are generally in a really giving mood. They start thinking about their families and their friends and the people around them a little bit more. I love Christmas music. Any other folks here? Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, there are a few songs that as soon as I hear it, I will change it like that because they get Feliz Navidad. I can do that for maybe like every 1 out of every 4, I can listen to it. Other times I just, and it has to be the original too. I can't do like any of this punk stuff that they got. But then there's like, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time by the Beatles. I just want to punch myself in the face when I hear that. That's another one that I just have to change the dial. But otherwise, I really love listening to Christmas music. I enjoy it. Nothing against the Beatles. I just don't like that song. But yeah, there's a lot of build-up this time of year to Christmas. There's a lot of excitement that kind of gets put together. And it's a time that a lot of folks really look forward to. And with all of this buildup that we have kind of built into our system a little bit, I think that it's good for us as Christians to kind of step back a little bit and say, okay, well, why is it that we're doing this? Why is this time so important? We just slow down a little bit and remember the importance of Christmas. And today, it's kind of an exciting day. We're starting a new series here with NLCF. It's the Advent series. And it's the beginning of what we call the Advent season, where usually 4 Sundays before Christmas, you kind of start this season. And we're going to explain it as we go along throughout these weeks. If you're not going to be here, which many of you, if you're students, you might not be here during the entire series, we're going to have all of our talks on the web, and so you can kind of keep up that way at home if you want as well. But I thought maybe it'd be good just to get us all on the same page as to what Advent is. We all come from different backgrounds and have varying knowledge of what Advent is, and so I thought maybe it'd be good just to give a small little explanation of what it is. But Advent, the word Advent, comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming or arrival. And traditionally, there's kind of two things that go along with Advent that we look for, that we look at. One is that we kind of go back and we remember the time when the Hebrews were looking for the first Advent. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah or the Savior. And that's kind of where you see all the, you know, the three wise men, the Magi, and baby Jesus in the manger. This is like that is the first Advent. That's a time that we remember. And then another thing that we look forward to when it comes to the Advent season is the time of Jesus' second coming, you know, his promise that he is going to come back. And so we're looking forward to his second Advent. As we're going to be talking about Advent in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be using a big chunk of Scripture as kind of our framework as we go throughout this. And that Scripture is it's from Jeremiah 33, and it's from verses 12 through 22 specifically. Now, if you have a program that's in there, it's also going to be up here, and you can follow along. But before we kind of go into reading this, I want to give you a little bit of background as to what's going on in Israel's history. This is not a really good time for Israel. Things are rough, it's scary, just bad things are happening. You know, nations were overthrowing the nation of Israel. Israel's kings were getting captured and killed. It just was not a good time. And then there was this guy, his name was Jeremiah, and God had given him a very tough task. His job was to be a prophet of the Lord to the people and to explain to them what was going on, why all this stuff was happening, and then call them to repent because they kind of had a part in all this too. And so as you read through this, you realize that there's just a lot of bad stuff that Jeremiah has to talk about. But throughout the Old Testament, especially here in Jeremiah, God sends reminders of the promise that he has made to them, that things aren't always going to be as they are, but that things will get better. And he wants the Israelites to remember the covenant that he's made with them. And so that's kind of where we are here with Jeremiah 33. God is reminding the Israelites of some stuff. And so let's read through it. I'm just going to read straight through it, and then we're going to kind of break it apart a little bit. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills and of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of Israel, nor will the Levitical priest ever fail to have a man stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars in the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore." Whew, you guys did great. Now, that's kind of a long piece of scripture, right? But what I want to do is just take a little bit of time, and we're going to break it down a little bit. So the first thing for us to remember, there's a few things to remember, and they're there in your program in bold, I believe. But the first thing for us to recognize here is that there is a covenant or a promise that God has made with Israel, and it starts here in verse 14. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah." Here it is. "In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Basically, what God is saying here is that He is reminding the Israelites of a promise that He had made to David a long time ago. You see, God, He's saying, okay, do you remember this covenant, this promise that I made with David? I told him that he would always have an heir on the throne of Israel, and that he would have a lot of descendants. Well, do you remember that promise? Well, basically, it gets better. I'm not only going to keep that promise. He's not only going, this heir isn't only going to be a king, but he is going to save you all. See, the Israelites, as I said before, they were looking forward to a time when everything was going to be redeemed, when everything was going to be back the way that it should be. They knew that things weren't right. You know, we read about all this bad stuff. Like, if you read through Jeremiah, it can be kind of a sad story. But God is reminding His people that He loves them, that He cares for them, and that He is going to fulfill these promises that He's made. Now, if you remember, early in the semester, if you were around, we did this series. It was called Identity, and we talked a lot about this theme of covenant and kingdom, that it kind of comes up over and over again throughout Scripture. And this is a really great, this is just another example of this idea of covenant kingdom, because you have this promise that God is making with David and with His people, and that He is going to accomplish this. He's going to fulfill it through a king. And that king is going to be good, and He's going to save all His people. And so here in Jeremiah, God is reminding His people that He is going to save them. Okay, so that's that. There is a promise. Now, this promise, another thing for us to remember, is that this promise can't be broken. It's a very, very exciting time in the life of Israel, because what God is doing is that He is saying that, I'm not only going to make this promise, but I want you to know that I am serious, that I am a God of my word. And so here in Jeremiah 33, this is verses 20 and 21, it says, "This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David my servant and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne." So it's kind of cool. This is like God breaking it down. I mean, He's like, look, I am serious. You guys need to know this. He is saying that I'm not God, but this is God saying, if you, whom I made, I created you, I love you, I care about you. If you, whom I made, can change when the sun rises and when the sun sets, which I also made that, I also made the sun, and I kind of gave it an appointed time when it's going to rise and set. If you can change that, if you're strong enough and you can change that, then this covenant that I made with David, this promise that I've given to you all to send a Savior, you can just kind of throw it out the window. It's no good. Kind of a cool thing for God to do, because what He's doing, He is extending confidence to us as a righteous Lord and Savior, that He is not only a God of His word, but that He wants us to understand that this is a promise that can't be broken, that He cares about us that much, that He is putting something on the line for us. And, I mean, we're pretty smart people, and granted, God has created us, and He is given us relatively big brains, you know, compared to a lot of other stuff out there. And we all use them to varying degrees. You know, I do really stupid things on occasion. Might not be the only one in this room. I could be the only one, but I don't know. But He's saying that this is just one thing, that this promise can't be broken. This is a really cool thing. Something that's really cool about this promise that God has made is that He reminds the Israelites of it. He constantly gives them reminders that He is serious about keeping His word. And reminders, they are a great thing when it comes to promises. I don't know about you, but I'm a very forgetful person. And so whenever I have a reminder of something, it's very helpful for me so that I don't forget. And there's kind of two things that reminders do for us. One is that they help us stay on track. You know, it's like when you're a little kid, if your parent or grandparent or somebody says, okay, if you eat all your vegetables, you can have a cookie, you know, that sort of thing. If you, you know, you have to constantly remind yourself, like, okay, I have to eat these vegetables so that I can get this cookie. If I don't eat them all, I'm not going to be. And so you kind of, you have to think towards the goal, like what you're shooting for. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. All right. So there's that. Reminders, they help keep us on track. Another thing with reminders is that they help build confidence in us of the promise that is being made. You know, when it comes to reminders that we have here modern day, I was trying to think through what are some reminders of promises that I have. And a wedding ring is a really great reminder of a promise. My wife and I, we've been married 4.5 years. Amy is her name. And we are crazy about each other. We love each other, all that sort of stuff. And I'm not downplaying it, but, you know, it's just how it is. We are crazy about each other, and we have made a covenant with each other. We have made a promise to each other that we are going to be each other's, and that, you know, our marriage is our marriage. It's nobody else's marriage, and we're going to keep it that way, and that we're serious about it. And not only did we make this promise with each other, but we did it under the authority of God, because that's what we believe a true marriage is that it is a union of two people under the authority of Jesus. And rings, our wedding rings, are a really great reminder of that promise that we've made. Now, I'm not a jewelry-wearing kind of guy. I have a college ring that I got from Radford when I went to school, and I have a high school ring from Amherst County that I have, and I don't wear either one of those today. But this ring, one, Amy would kill me if I took it off, but two, like, it is, I don't mind wearing this. I am proud to wear this ring because it reminds me of the promise that I have made with Amy. And if there's ever any doubt or forgetfulness on my part inside of our rings, mine says Amy's, and on the inside of hers it says Steve's, and we have our wedding date too. So it's kind of a bonus that if I just go nuts and can't remember our anniversary, all I have to do is flip the inside of my ring, it's totally there. So you should remember that for the future, dudes. So it's just like it's an awesome bonus there. But all this to say is that reminders are a good thing, and that Scripture is chock full of reminders of this promise that God has made to the Israelites. If you look up here, there's a bunch of reminders, you know, Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Luke. You know, these are just a small handful of the reminders that God has given His people of His love and care for them and of the promise that He has made. I'm not going to go through them all today because that would take, one, it would take a really long time, and two, the point is that there's a lot of reminders there, and that God wants to put these reminders there so that we can have confidence that He is a God of His Word and that He hasn't forgotten us. And I would encourage you also to kind of read through those. It's very exciting to kind of see how they all line up and all that sort of stuff. But something, you know, when it comes to fulfillment of this promise that God has made, that He is going to send a Savior, we find fulfillment of this promise in Jesus. And this is where this story, like this whole idea goes from awesome to really, really, really awesome. Because this is like the fulfillment of the promise. This is exciting stuff. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 23. You can follow along or you can read it up here. Either way is fine. But this is, you know, the birth of Jesus foretold. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And to be honest, I would think that too. Nobody really says that. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's," he's talking about the nation of Israel, "and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." See, this is a really exciting time because, again, this is God fulfilling the promise that He had made to send a Savior, to send a Messiah. This is the first Advent. You know, this is like where the Magi and baby Jesus in the manger, all that sort of stuff kind of comes into play. This is exciting, exciting stuff. Now, as awesome as this is, you know, the coming of the Messiah, this first Advent, God fulfilling this part of His promise, this isn't actually the main focus of what we're here talking about during this Advent series. I realize that might sound a little bit weird. I am no way negating the importance of Jesus coming. I want you all to make sure that you understand that. But what we are looking forward to is we are looking forward to the time of Jesus' second coming, of his second arrival, of his second advent. And so I thought maybe I should explain what I'm talking about here a little bit. And we're going to fast forward 30-some years through the life of Jesus. And, okay, so, you know, at this point, Mary, you know, God had said to Mary, okay, you're going to have a son, you're going to name him Jesus, he's going to save everybody, it's going to be awesome. Alright, so we're after Jesus' resurrection. You know, okay, so Jesus was born, lived his life, he was crucified, buried, 3 days later he rose from the grave. Cool stuff. Now, so we're at the point of his resurrection. And after he was resurrected, he was hanging out with his disciples. He was kind of giving them some final instructions and telling them more about the kingdom of God. And after all he had done, it says in Mark 16:19 that after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. You see, this is a huge deal. If you go and you read in the beginning of Matthew, if you open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1, we get to read the lineage of Jesus. We get to read all about all of his ancestors. And what we find there is that Jesus was a descendant of David. And now we get to this point that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in his throne, and that this is confirmation and fulfillment of this promise that God has made to both David and to the promise that he had made to Mary. And it's really important for us to make the connection between what God is saying to David and what he is saying to Mary. And the promise that God has made with David, in the reminder that we read here in Jeremiah, is that God said that there would always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne, and that he was going to be a savior. And to Mary, God said that Jesus was going to be that heir, he was going to be the savior of all, and that his kingdom would never end. And it's that part about the kingdom never ending that we really need to take note of, because that we get the sense that God isn't only reminding us of the promise that he has made, but that he was unveiling something new about this promise, that this kingdom of the righteous Lord, it was unending. It was never going to end. And so we get the sense that God is building on this promise, and he's fulfilling and building and fulfilling and building. It's very exciting. And so this promise, we can kind of see that it, in a big way, is still being worked out. And if we read here, we're going to go to Acts 1, verses 10 and 11. Jesus is ascending into heaven, and this is a really funny moment in Scripture. I enjoy this a lot. But it says that they, talking about the disciples, were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I love this. I think it's kind of funny if you think about it. Now, when you were a kid and somebody handed you a helium balloon, you might even still do this today, somebody hands you a helium balloon and says, "whatever you do, don't let go," what are you going to do? You're going to let go. Thank you. I'm serious. Like, when I say stuff like that, I really like to say, okay, yeah, you're going to let go of the balloon. Because why? Because you want to see that sucker go. You want to see it fly like as far as it can. I still enjoy it, even though it's not environmentally safe. Like, it's just kind of fun to watch a balloon go really far. But, and so I kind of get this, you know, when you're doing this, you're watching the balloon go and go and go and go, and even after it's gone, you still kind of stare because you think maybe it'll come back down. Who knows? And I get the sense that that was going on with the disciples. They were standing there. Jesus had ascended up into heaven, and they were just like staring. And then all of a sudden, these two dudes show up out of nowhere and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you looking up? Jesus is gone." But something that's really cool is that he's going to come back. He's going to come back the exact same way you have seen him go. This is another promise. This is like an extension of that first promise, because it deals with Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the promise that a Savior is coming. And then it's also kind of an extension of that, in that he is coming back and that all things are going to be redeemed. And so we are being reminded that there is going to be the second advent. Now, just like Israel had reminders of the kind of that first part of that promise that we talked about, that a Messiah was going to come, that everything was going to get redeemed, there was going to be someone from a branch of David. Just like they had reminders all throughout Scripture, we have reminders of this promise that Jesus is going to come back. One of those reminders is, and you can write this down, they're like two blanks on your program. This first one is the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder that we have that Jesus is coming back as the Holy Spirit. And there's two verses that we're going to look at here and that kind of go along with this. One is from Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And the other one is from Galatians 3, 14. But in Ephesians, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." And in Galatians, it says, "Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing He promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." Now, there's a couple of things that we kind of get from this. One is that this promise to Abraham, I think it's good that we look at this a little bit. God had made, okay, so Abraham lived way before David, right? And David was a descendant, so it was like Abraham, a bunch of people, David, a bunch of people, Jesus. Like, they're all in the same family line. And God had made a promise to Abraham saying that, "I am choosing you, Abraham. You... I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have a ton of kids, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. It's going to be awesome." That is what God, that's the promise that He had made to Abraham. And something that we realize is that with this lineage of Jesus, the covenant made to Abraham, it precedes the covenant made with David, and that these promises, they really kind of build on each other. We realize that there is this larger story that is happening, and we get to be a part of that. And the way that we see that is what it says there in Galatians 3, is that this promise to Abraham, to David, promise made through Mary, all this stuff about a Savior, all that was kind of like a family thing that had been happening. But we realize here from Galatians that this blessing, that this promise, doesn't only apply to that family, but it's open to everybody, which is the vast majority of us probably here in this room tonight, unless you're born of Jewish descent. Exciting, exciting stuff. Not unless, let me rephrase that. If you are born of Jewish descent, it's understood that you're in Abraham's line. I want to make sure I make that connection. I don't want to confuse anybody. But if you weren't born of Jewish descent, then that's everybody else. We're considered Gentiles, and we get to fit into this promise too. It's exciting, exciting stuff. And the way that this happens, and a reminder that we have through this, is that the Holy Spirit is given to us who accept Christ. It says there very specifically that the Holy Spirit comes through faith, in that faith in Jesus. And again, so we realize that these promises, that they are building on each other, and that Jesus is coming back, and that includes all of us, not just if you happen to be born into that family. The Holy Spirit serves, some of the reasons that we have it is that the Holy Spirit guides us throughout our lives, kind of helps us keep on track, kind of like the reminders I was talking about before. And the Holy Spirit also, this is exciting, acts as a seal or a guarantee that we can count on the promise that God has made and that we are included in that. It's kind of like thinking about the Holy Spirit, it's like thinking about the Holy Spirit as a deposit kind of put down for us until that promise is fully fulfilled. You think about if you're going to buy something and it costs a lot, you put a down payment on it, and that's kind of you saying, "I am definitely going to buy this. This is definitely mine. I am committing to it." It's that sort of thing. And the Holy Spirit is that in our lives. It is there to serve as a reminder that Jesus is coming back and that God is serious about His love for us. The Holy Spirit is a really, that's a big reminder that we have, and it comes from Scripture. We kind of get that sense from Scripture. It's a reminder that God has set in place for us so that we can see this promise. occasionally, we as Christians, we set up reminders for ourselves so that we won't forget these promises that God has made and of these covenants. And one of these reminders that we have kind of set up is actually what we're doing here today. It's the celebration of Advent, you know, going through Scripture, reading about the first coming, looking forward to the second coming, and making all these connections, seeing how we fit into this larger story. And Advent isn't something, you know, like the season of Advent, the four Sundays that we have of Advent. It isn't something that you'll read about necessarily in Scripture. There's not like, you know, somewhere where it says, you know, on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, you get out a wreath and some candles and do all this stuff. You say this, you light the candle. You don't read any of that, but it's something that we have built into our yearly rhythm to help us to remember this. Now, a traditional part of Advent is the Advent wreath. And, like I said, again, this isn't something from Scripture, but it helps to serve as a reminder. And I thought, you know, because we're all from different backgrounds here in LCF, maybe it'd be good to explain the Advent wreath a little bit. So there's a couple elements to consider. One is the wreath itself. It's made of garland or evergreens, which, you know, is meant to symbolize things that don't go away. It's like an enduring or a continuing life. The fact that the wreath is a wreath, circular, it symbolizes unity or kind of togetherness. It's kind of like a wedding ring. You know, you'll hear that explanation a lot, that, you know, with a marriage, you can't tell, you know, to become one, you can't tell where one ends and the other begins and that sort of stuff. It's that same idea of unity. And then there's the candles. Our Advent wreath here has five candles. The one in the middle, the big white one, is the Christ or Christmas candle. And then the other four represent different aspects of Advent. And each Sunday of Advent, another candle is lit. So today we'll light one candle. Next Sunday, that one candle will already be lit, and then we'll light another one. And so there's this continuing, this growing of light that happens as Christmas approaches. And it's meant to represent this growing anticipation of Christ's return. And so the first candle that we have is meant to represent hope or expectation that we have that Jesus is coming back. Today's talk, looking at the confidence that we can have through this, or in this unbreakable promise that God has made to us, it ties in very well because it gives us something to look forward to. If you have confidence in something, that kind of helps your anticipation grow a little bit. And so we're going to light one of these candles. This is the hope candle. These are new, so it takes a little bit to get them lit. But as we look forward to the time of Jesus' return, you know, we can have this eager anticipation and expectation that he is coming back. You know, when I was a child, I had a lot of eager anticipation for this time of year. Back then, it was more about ripping through presents and just going crazy. And I realize, you know, as I get older, that there's more stuff to look forward to than that. Yeah, that's exciting, and I still enjoy it, not quite as much as I did when I was a kid. But, the question comes up, do I have the same amount of eager anticipation as I did then for this return of Christ, or for Jesus, just for the life that he has called for me? And so the confidence that I had as a kid really helped feed my hope and expectation. And so that is the challenge that we face today, is to be reminded of Jesus' second coming and then to live in this confidence and hope that we can have in for that time. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for this evening and this time to come and worship you and to hear from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us this week as we consider what it means to have hope in your second coming, and to eagerly expect that you are going to fulfill your promise, God, and that all things are going to be redeemed and we are included in that. God, would you show us how to grow in our anticipation and just to look forward to you coming back. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.